when you're ready.
Okay, good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is a retreat workshop for July 31st, 2018. The time right now is 5:30 p.m. Ms. Atkinson, will you please call the roll?
Certainly, council members present in establishing a quorum are Hanford, Scarborough, Davis, Camp, and Gamble.
And we have not heard from Councilmember Kondrak. We'll go ahead and note her interest in the chambers on the record when she comes in. Will everybody please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Earlier this evening, earlier today, we did send out an email to the council members. Ms. Hassler is not going to be here this evening due to an emergency, and therefore the discussion items are limited this evening to item number 2, and that's AB18-164, Monroe County Marketing and Incentives. So, just go ahead.
Actually, I'm going to go ahead and start with either Thompson or we have Boxo that's here this evening representing the Monroe Marketing Scenario. And I think kind of the whole proposition that we have called for this evening is we've got the marketing materials prepared, and part of the marketing materials starting on page, not page number, I apologize, but under city incentives, three, four pages in. Starts off at the top of the page with what is the city seeking, and then following that are the city incentives.
And I think this item's
This one? Yes, so we keep going down to page 64. There you go, city. Okay, so this is the final draft of the marketing materials for Monroe County, and one of the primary policy questions we have for the city council are what incentives
I'm not saying that, you know, it would be in business in our case, maybe we have a high value. essentially designate an area as a conversion area for tax credits and discounts for developers in the housing area. But you can expect local revenue on this one.
So. Sure. So state law allows you to either provide a property tax exemption for an 8-year period or a 12-year period. An 8-year period, you're left with the following public benefit for the reason why you're providing that property tax exemption at your discretion. If you offer a 12-year exemption, you have to provide some form of affordability. 20% of the units would have to be affordability. And I don't recall what percentage of the AMI would have to be, but you have to have 20% of the units that have units would have to be affordability. If you're going to offer 8 years, you can do that by finding your own community benefit. Maybe it's a goal or a class developing, or maybe you're achieving some other benefit by that you're offering.
The fourth one is contribution of public infrastructure and park amenities. agree this one. So right now we have the majority of infrastructure in outdoor. However, if somebody wants to do something a little different on sewer deep or water line needs to be extended in a different fashion or a different configuration, essentially the city would put that bill. They would go out there and reroute that water and sewer. The park amenities we had earlier discussed, you see an overall conceptual design. There's the parcel stormwater pond that we talked about taking the we originally had a concept of the village green for that gathering space and turning that area into the village green gathering space. The next one is waiver of building permit fees. So this would be something similar to what we currently do in the downtown area. It would just be, they come in, we don't collect any for that. And, it could over the course of it be several $100,000. So if that was something that we looked at, obviously that would have to be that local purchase price on how much it would be. Because essentially, that's still money taken out of the city hall. It's a good option depending on how somebody wants to basically start with a loan or move forward with it. It may be an option where, okay, you pay us a little more on the sales price and we knock out the building permit fees. It's all essentially going to be the same thing. It's essentially any pressure that you can talk about. But that is an option. And then the server.
So, next, any of these that we're talking about? Taxes, the
so the taxes were just for the just for number two. Yeah, just for number two. It was the only one that had more part being absorbed by the community.
So people buy these single family, not single family, all by family loans. Don't have to pay taxes, but the rest of the community is going to pay those taxes.
It's spread throughout the community, if I'm understanding it correctly. So it'll be absorbed by the rest of the community.
So, Councilmember Sarver, if I'm understanding things correctly in your question, by reducing them for item, so the bullet number two, by reducing the property taxes for residential development in North Kelsey, you would increase everybody else's property taxes by an amount that I think would be good for us to hear what that number is. I don't think it would be hundreds of dollars, but it would increase it across all the other properties in the city limits.
Would that be for the first year or forever?
That's a good question.
For the water tank exemption, you choose either neighborhood period or 12-year period. One way to look at all these incentives is they're all reducing the cost for development. So in a sense, those are all impacting the community. They're paying more by the fact that they're not receiving as much money then. But what you're trying to do is incentivize development so that you create all the benefits that would exist organically. Just develop on its own and not over the incentives. So the trick is trying to dial in the right development person that has a return on this investment, if you will, sell the property for maybe $50,000 less, or maybe the property tax exemption is $50,000 over time. You want to be able to create that revenue back over time by the fact that all the things.
But the public wouldn't have any say on this. This is strictly our fault.
These are all areas that you can prove legislatively without any public vote.
8 years of scrutiny. What 12 years?
12 years. You need to provide a minimum or require that a minimum of 20% of the housing units are built or affordable. And I can't recall what the affordability index has to be, but 20% of those units. If they're doing that, if we have one plan, probably 20 of those would have to be affordable.
40 out of 50. Do we have an idea what affordable might be in comparison to the amount? Not supportable of our
probably a percent.
It's like 60% of the average median income of Selby County. I can't remember that.
It's about $65,000 a year, the average median income. If you take a look at the marketing materials, you can see that I think within a 1 mile radius of this location, the average median household income right now is $64,000. So, the majority of folks.
Yeah, I think the performer was at $1.80, $2.
Through the floor, right?
Yeah, that's for market rent, yeah.
It would only be 20% for 8 years, what is it? Is there a fertilizer for 3 years?
You can unify whatever the community method is related to. So it's 12 years ago.
For 20%. Yeah, so 300 minutes, that would be 40 minutes. Anything for the Councilman Scarborough? Anything, Councilor Andrew?
Yeah, my question is going to be, is the affordable housing equation based off of city limits, county as a whole? Because I saw you.
I think the affordability is going to be based on how much money is going to be paid on county, the whole county, rather than specific to
the city, but it's obviously the 5 mile radius, even if it's considerably higher than the 1 mile, something like that.
Do we need to look into that though, or is that a question about?
Yeah.
I suspect you may be able to find a higher standard, or in this case, maybe a more affordable standard in exchange for the benefit of your property.
So we're on waiver of building permits?
Correct. And just go back to the residential multifamily property tax exemption. Several communities actually currently use this. A lot of the larger communities have their value. Bremerton are a few examples. I was talking with the planning director of the city of Everett, and he says this is the thing that's actually serving the county of Bremerton in their city. I was asking how you craft that program, and they said the best thing that they have is this tax exemption. So that's just kind of a side note how it's going in the waiver building permit fees is just, it's that simple. And obviously, it would be on a basis, depending on how much building would increase or their sales price. And then reduction or waiver of transportation impact fees. Transportation impact fees, you said the impact fee is an additional cost to the developer, especially I see on the attachment that I put in here. It starts getting up there, so if you go down to restaurants, or you get administrative officers or dentists, it's square foot gross floor area. You see that to add up. And so, as far as their investment in anticipated kind of building for them, it's something you're looking for long term. One thing with traffic impact fee is because it's an impact fee, the city's defined the methodology and the fact that we need to collect these fees on this basis, we can't just throw them out. We can't just get rid of them. We're essentially saying our own logic screen is defunct for this kind of fee. So these need to be reimbursed essentially for a minimum month. So depending on how much we decide to waive and what we have in the future for presentation projects that are in the facilities plan, it may be worth it waiving it, taking that money out of there. The city isn't getting rid of the money, it's still staying with the city, it's just transferring to the general fund, which everybody knows is the fund that's hit the hardest, over to the traffic impact fund. And so the city will still have that for those transportation projects. And so if we have something identified that we already can spend money towards for perhaps the benefit of maybe is essentially washing the city's security. That's something that won't happen. But I did want to leave you with the impression that we can just take on.
Yeah, so I was pushing this whole trying to, this one would involve some kind of tax increase, for these 6 items, just so I could get to that one. Consider the sale of property for less than 300,000, that may or may not impact this.
Correct, yeah, it does. Yeah, as far as money, as far as us, taking money out of the general fund, I mean, obviously we saw the obligation, and so we go to the law and then we get money out of the general fund.
So, effectively, the general fund. property tax exemption. There would be an increase for property tax or what else? Priority permitting on the infrastructure park amenities, general fund, or some sort of tax.
No, those are the capital dollars. Those are coming out of your interstate excise tax, which is the
that's close enough.
Yes.
In general, waiver of health permit permits, that's essentially money that would come into the general fund. So it's a method of like it's on reduction. That would be a transfer of money, so let's say the city would be out of the general fund into the transportation.
That's it. Use real estate excise tax for the transportation packages and some general fund.
Okay, and then the idea, this would be these six items, there's not one that you typically want to use. We want to have all six of these options in the organization developer. So it's not something that we would want to say we're only going to consider the sale of property less than market value because they may want to have some sort of residential property.
Right.
So we want the ability to use these on the block.
Well,
just as the
without the appeal that they're more than right then. Not everyone's going to utilize all six of these. The reduction of property may be the one that really kind of takes the scale for the type of growth. And I would say that all of their accepting less revenue at the front end, you're trying to define a community benefit. In other words, return on that reduction will eventually pay itself back or pay you back for that contribution that you're making towards the current development right now, where it's cost over a period of time. And hopefully, 2, 3, 4 times more.
So, what I'm trying to picture from your perspective, you're sitting across the table from someone trying to sell what else that you want to be able to bring any of these to present and say, if you buy it, yes.
Yeah. But prior to that, we want to at least capture their attention by here's a city that's very serious, controls the regulatory process, so at this land, they will set a price that makes sense in the marketplace. Plus, there's 5 other incentives that they're willing to put forward. We want to grab someone's attention that would not necessarily give Monroe a second buck. We want them to give us a second buck so that we can enter into that conversation.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask out of all the items on this list, the one that gets most frequently requested, or I guess the biggest complaint that we have from developers that are looking to build healthy property, has been the cost of transportation impact. So out of the entire list, that's the one that's really, I think, been the current developer. I think that's part of the looking at the effect of the and so the property tax rates are going to be relatively high, and so that's the cost center in the development project. We have somebody, as Mr. Stowe mentioned, who is coming in to do a multi-family development, which we're interested in putting more people down in more healthy, then their incentive, they might be more incentivized than by the reduction in the property tax, because they're going to get a property tax break that developer would, then for that 8 years that they got that property.
Customer answer.
Thank you. So, first couple questions. Number one, where are you done? And what are you looking for exactly?
Well, we're trying to get an idea as to whether or not there are any non-starters that are interested. We're also looking at providing you with education, kind of what these different alternatives are. If there's something you would like to know that, so we can bring back additional information, also inform how we do it.
I was curious to know, you had mentioned the multi-family property tax exemption was covered in the city, so it's pretty popular. I'm curious to know if the reduction of the waiver of transportation tax fees is also popular, or the waiver of building permit fees. And I guess what I'm trying to get at is, if our competition is offering this amount of discounts, then we don't want to be the same.
Park, and we're talking about all the improvements, and one by the senior center,
quiet area of City Hall, and have to increase the depth of the public control. So to me, it's just like, you know, I'm pretty good. I was good with that. That's well and good to try to explain to somebody why their taxes are being good for them to provide some of these amenities. So I'm not against, I'm not anywhere against development across the country. I understand that everybody gets a little uncomfortable the way we're going to get the money to do it. A lot of people who stay with me for so long, taking me out of the home, putting me in the left town, teaching me what needs to be done. Please, don't take it as a game time support. Take it as somebody who just doesn't understand exactly how we're going to adopt that or how we're going to achieve that without government. Everybody who thinks it's very taxes. They just went out to the third. They went out because they were assessing costs because of this. Everybody that got their tax bill, they got an assessment, their debt probably worth more money than PGP. But that doesn't do a thing for the people that are on fixed income. A lot of houses, $300,000. Now that piece of paper says it's worth $900,000. The taxes are so tall that they're having to sell their property and go someplace where it's worth. So those are the people. I don't know what the percentage is around the world. But people might look at that and go, totally natural. When's it going to stop? They can't go to work. I don't know the answer. I just know how I feel. Every time I see that tax, I'm on a fixed income. And I know my fixed income isn't going up nearly as fast as it is. At some point, I'm going to have to make a decision where I'm going to make this decision. So, just giving you that, the other side of the coin, in my opinion.
Thank you, Councilmember. I know it's frustrating. We've got fire districts and school districts that like to go out for weddings. A lot of those that have been voted in by the people. The hard thing about us being here at City Hall, Councilmembers, Mayor, is that people look at us like we're the ones that are increasing the taxes. And in reality, it's the fire district, it's the school district, it's the state of Washington. You all and I, we try to be conservative about how we approach our fiscal responsibility. We like to hold back rather than increasing the, you know, the 1% that we're allowed to each year under state law. And yet other districts actually do those increases. So while those other districts are building nicer fire stations, you know, building schools and things like that, we're sitting in a building right now that the air conditioning doesn't really work right now. And roads need to be built and so on. So I understand what you're saying because to a taxpayer, it's like me, you and I are the taxpayers, we just see the one bill. And there's a lot of education that needs to go into the difference between that city and the different districts. So I fully understand what you're saying. One of the things to remember is that while some of these things actually require expenditure from the general fund, like the transportation impact fees, others of these need a deferment of revenues. Like Councilmember Camp is pointing out when he was going through what is a tax increase, what is a deferment of revenue, like that's expedited building permits or us reducing the cost of building permits, that's a deferment of revenue versus an expenditure from the general fund. But with all those schools that have been discussed tonight, remember this, our plan B, or plan C or whatever, would be for us to potentially have to increase revenue or take from the general fund to be able to make that next payment. We've got $4.3 million due on the loan right now. We've got just under $2 million in bank to be able to make the next payment. And we've got about two and a quarter or so things to be paid about a year and a half. After that next thing. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why we're having this conversation here today is how else can we do this without having to just take from the general fund to make that payment? So I think we're going to have some really good and those would be some additional things that I would share. Before we go on to one of the other council members, is there any questions we're asking?
I was only going to add to that I think what Mr. Stowe was mentioning earlier too is that you're not going to want to provide these particular incentives unless you believe that these incentives somehow are going to have a return on that investment, not just for the city as a whole, but for the taxpayer community. And I think you see that in some of the development that's already occurred over in North Kelsey. For example, Walmart is probably one of our highest retail sales tax producing grocer and retail companies. So I think that you only want to provide some of these incentives if you feel like, for example, that adding people into the community down there is going to increase sales tax revenue. And the reason why the city has been able to limit your property tax increases and not take your 1% is because you really do have strong retail sales. And so your taxpayers have already received some of those benefits.
What we sold is all the property that we want to do.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I'm not sure you want me to.
I was going to say, we talked about it in an executive session, so I agree. I don't think it's that.
No.
Thank you.
generally, the city discount any property if they own that asset. You're doing it because they need to establish a marketplace. It doesn't mean you sell all the properties for this kind of thing. Maybe you have to sell the first one, the first person in the door, in order to get it developed. Or you might sell all of it for this kind of value in exchange for some large community benefits in that way. But you do have to be mindful of the trade value, because the auditors will want to make sure that when you're exposing the property, that you're getting fair market value for that. But that fair market value can be interpreted in many different ways, both cash as well as community benefits. That's correct. You don't have to do it, otherwise you have to put the
money. Exactly.
You can't just give the property away.
Right.
You have to have something back.
Okay. So you have to prove that to be benefit.
Yeah, so it'll be a little
bit of
that. But you think you want them after you use the example of bottle. That's how they got it.
Use the example of what?
Then use the example of the bottle that when that property was sold, it was sold for 25 cents on the dollar. Minimums would not be able, would have been able to buy fair market value. So the city took 75% of that fair market value of the community benefit. Community benefit, by the way, then was a operating pool that the city was able to operate without a large subsidy of some of that. And so, free pool service for the community for 15 years. Another community building, historic preservation of the building. And then it could also project it out with tax revenue, but it didn't need to. So there are those things that are established.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. And then can you explain to me just kind of, what is the property tax exemption for this project? What is it? Is that whoever from the building is paying taxes in perpetuity?
Just for either an 8 or 12 year period.
Okay.
It's a 12 year period. You have to offer 20% of the housing units of that development has to be
affordable. Okay. So what?
So there's an index that you can select either 50% or 70% of the average median for this period.
Okay, so the tax exemption is for 8 or 12 years, 20% needs to be affordable.
That's for 12 years. For 8, you can call in better than 20 years.
Okay.
Could be for the housing, also
and is that 20% they're offering for the housing, is that half the 12 years? Is that in perpetuity or that's in and then the priority permitting?
That's what state law is, but there are some jurisdictions that require it.
Okay, is that something we could negotiate?
You could, but would like to just raise your bar to a higher term to the development. If you do so, you weren't really being established on the place for you're not needing to offer the incentive, but you're really
that would be ideal.
Yeah, but I don't know that that would be the case you want to do on this property to offer or require a affordability for it could be an option. It is an option today.
Okay. And then the priority permitting, walk me through the you to add this, you come in first come, first serve. Doesn't mean you communicate to me. However, I can see a contractor maybe on a timeline, somebody that might give a lot of distance to your area, and then that probably needs to be back because we prioritize this one. How does that work for
some of the tools that you've been using? No, I think one of the things that we discussed before was that we turn around the administrative options.
Right.
But the developer can be in this.
Right.
Or would like to be. So we tell them that we're giving
that's
more of a marketing effect for our students today.
Right. That's nothing that we have to advertise to the public that they were getting this property prior to permitting. If you don't have to, there's no right to do nothing that we have to let people know that we're doing that.
But beyond what your default is, you can have made to allow for that part of this development. No more fee will have to be that.
It just seems that that's for a community to run into the problem where they offer priority permitting projects that maybe this project is more important than this project if we're making that decision.
Yeah, and generally, I mean, I see this done when you're trying to incentivize new development.
Right.
So development, the occupation of real estate that actually reduces revenue that then lowers people's property taxes. It could be any development, correct?
Right.
It happens to be this one because you develop the property for the future rather than development.
So we don't have to, like you're saying, it's procedural, we just kind of use that. We don't have to move anything else like you do with number one, which is stay with the community then.
Not from a legal point of view or a PR point of view.
Okay, so that's what I'm just asking. And then the contribution of public infrastructure improvement, we've actually seen this as a plus. If we could somehow work out a development where we could have, we talked about having water feature or plaza, and that could be a park amenity that other people in our community would go to. It might be but it might be a good thing to do up in here, because that would be part of the original plan, that some form of gathering space for something there. So, yeah, but, you know, if you come to Seattle and have a water feature, so I see that as a possibility that it's sure that if there are any council members who are interested in going to Washington, D.C. with the Alliance of Columbia County, that the deadline to use this was extended until August 10th.
That's right. They extended it 1 week. They just told me that today, so you have a few more days to think about it, but that is a hard deadline.
I'm
Motion passes 7-0. We are adjourned. Thank you very much. Have a great rest of your night.